expense, which all can go to fix.
Chair, just before you begin, I wonder if you would record two objections. Just simply record, in the first instance, my objection to the program. We must accept that we cannot deal with effectively two departments, a 40 billion rand budget in 3.5 hours, where approximately 1 hour would be devoted to men's questions. So I would just like you to record my objection to the program. Secondly, if you would record my objection to the venue. I don't think it's appropriate that Parliament uses external venues such as the Mount Nelson, which cost an enormous amount of money in a time where not only the defense budget is constrained, but the national budget is constrained. I wonder if you would just simply record that objection, and we can then obviously get into briefing.
So what I think, what the objection is, before we start?
Yes.
Our annual performance plan
statement highlighting our planning document. Quickly just mention the public entity that are reporting to the regulatory authority and the office of state reporting to the regulatory authority. When you look into any NTEF budget plan, which would be the last part of our part four of our presentation, the last part of our presentation, we will look at those relevant reductions that have been indicated and the budget cut that came through. Because after we have adopted our budget in August last year, paying for this financial year, in November, we were told that we must cut on that budget that was allocated in the NTEF. And also, after we thought that we have cut to the whole way we cut, after the cabinet report in February this year, we were even further reduction requirements to cut there on this NTEF for this financial year 2014, as well as the 14-15-15. And I will try to highlight those indications for our article 22 and in terms of the main problem, as well as in terms of the various economic applications with some convenient marks. Our paper here this morning simply to present core corporate overview of the Defense Secretariat and the production of Defense Force and Performance Plan for the financial year 2013-2014 to this honorable portfolio committee of defense and military secretary. We will, the planning instruments, they are all aligned as required by law to the outcome-based principles of government, and these are outcome-based principles of government are highlighted in the change agenda as well as in the sustained agenda. The change aspect of it was the high result of 2007 to highlight the core performance information. And our plan is aligned to the National Strategic Framework and as well as to the annual performance plans that are aligned to the strategic plans of the department. The first draft that was presented today was submitted to the National Strategic in August, as I indicated, with the budget. And the National Strategic makes one input to the plan, which was highlighting the reductions that will be coming through. And in November, we submitted the second draft with the reductions as imposed by the National Treasury, not being negotiated with us. And after that, after the third imposition of the reductions in February, we then finalized our annual performance plan, which we tabled in Cabinet on the 15th of March this year, with task copies and electronic copies. I'm just informing the members of the committee that if they want to have access to this document in any other format, including electronic, please update the calendar. When you look at the statistics, we want to go into details about the vision, which is head of the effective defense for the Republic, and the vision, which is then to provide managers and defense security communities with the nature of Africa. As related to constitution, legislation, parliament, and military direction. When we prepare our own performance plan, we have to take into consideration the various legislation and regulation framework. This includes public service regulation, national treasury regulation, national treasury framework for strategic plans, National Treasury Framework for Program Performance Information. It will be aligned to the Constitution of the Republic, pertaining to the rules that should happen to the work of the Department of Defense, the Defense Amendment Act of 2010, the Public Service Act of 1994, and most importantly, the Public Finance Management Act that binds all our departments and programs of the accounting council and the accounting framework. As of late, the plan have on this arm the Defense Secretariat branch, and then on this arm the South African National Defense Force. I'm sorry, this is not visible, but there is an area of the issues that are central to both Secretariat and the Defense Force, and this includes the Human Resource Division, the Defense Legal Service Division, the Defense Foreign and Foreign Relations, the Defense Foreign Relations Division. So there you will find men and women in uniform sitting side by side with those who are in the field with the civilian administration. And then here definitely you will have men and women in uniform, and here is the civilian. So that all means the primary office. The Ministerial Authority, Executive Authority here, we provide to the department the overarching policy statement, which then will be used to develop this unobjective standard that we are presenting today. From the inputs and the indicators to the activities, the verifications, output, and the outcome, both for the Secretariat, which is headed by the Secretary of Defense, as well as the SAMGF, which is headed by the Chief of the SAMGF. And you have the services and the divisions on both sides to implement this overarching statement that it will be now, highlighting that moving from the letter credit over asking statement, the credit for asking statement is the committee of the minister giving instruction in terms of what we call in the department ministerial priorities. And the ministerial priorities as determined by the minister for the financial year 2013-2014 includes the following: the enhancement of the labor as members are aware that during the strategic defense package, the armed labor defense initiatives were not part of the strategic defense package from the Air Force and the Navy. For this financial year, we will focus on the modernization of the South African Army and strengthen the procurement system specifically in arms to ensure that we enhance the capability of our labor force and the labor better. The maritime strategy has priority coming from the government in situational analysis based on the cycle of the treaty, not now only on our eastern shore in the Indian Ocean, but growing towards piracy, especially on the western coast of our continent, which necessitates that we strengthen our maritime security both on the Indian Ocean and on the Atlantic Ocean, and the coastal line of the Republic. The fortunate region is one of the important priorities, is the enhancement of the South African defense peacekeeping capabilities. The national youth service and the revitalization of the reserve force, the restructuring and support of the defense industry, and the Department of Defense work capabilities to where the department is working very close with the National Department of Public Works so that the maintenance and health of our defense facilities can now be done by the Department of Defense, migrating those functions from the Department of Public Works to the Department of Defense. The Minister highlighted at once that the priority for this financial year 2014. Military development is on a committed level of our force number and the maintenance and enforcement of discipline in the African National Defense Force. One of the priorities for this financial year is to address the 40 times as of last year, financial year 11, 12, and 12 elections. So during this year, we will be focusing on the period of address finding of the auditor. This is specific intervention to strengthen our DOT control. I would highlight that maybe the major area that we would declare we need more focus for the members of the community to be aware is gating and management of our assets. That's number one. Number two, strengthening the DOB internal controls through the establishment of the internal audit division. Yes, we do now have an internal audit that the Federal Defense never had throughout the city at the level of the DOB. We need now to strengthen that capacity in the internal audit division. Number three, the supply chain processes in the Department of Defense need to strengthen the internal controls to prevent any corruption in the process of supply chain. And number four, the human resources side. I don't think we have major challenge there. It has been made the remaining citation from the Auditor General has been around performance agreements, which I think we last year we hope during this financial year they will be do better. That's why we will have a keep an eye on the construction that all performance agreements must be signed before the end of this week of this month. Hopefully end of this week like I instead of end of the month, I will hope by the end of the month all performance agreements are designed. Then we also have some critical systems of compliance performance assessment of all our personnel in the DOT. In terms of information technology, it was mostly around the FMS, the financial management system that is coming into the Treasury. The Department of Defense was one of the pilot sites for the Treasury, National Treasury Finance and Management System, which then is supposed to assist us in part of our internal controls. There we are having challenges mostly coming out of both media and national treasury that are not there in keeping that system in the workshop for that long time is not out yet into our workshop. One of the challenges that we have. I think these are the issues that are raised by the World Agenda, and these are the issues that for this financial year we would like to have them addressed for the financial year. The importing will be important to the community on the country, maybe the community will monitor how we are doing in these areas to assist the department to obtain unqualified audit for this financial year. But I might as well mention some progress. If you look at the third quarter of financial year 11-12, the third quarter of 11-12, I'm talking December 2011, and compare that to the quarter report of financial year 12-13, you look at the dashboard that was given by the general on the assessor funding body. In December 2011, we had 5 light-3, and in December 2012, we had 1 light-3. So by December 2013, we hope to have no light-3 on our dashboard on the assessor funding of the perspective. So this is one area that maybe the community would like to keep focus on in terms of how are we doing towards operation in audit. Is there a red flag? Yes, we do have a red flag. The red flag so much help with that operational center. It's one of the best operational center on the asset management she has ever been, that it will succeed in getting unqualified bodies on our asset management. This will be a prototype kind of a system that she wants to comment for other departments. So, if during my tenure, the funding office, I can help our asset principal management for the center of excellence and achieve something as well. So, to be something that the committee can be proud of, to be able to achieve the establishment of such a system. But there are few challenges. I'm not sure whether the water general is heavy or not. I know he's heavy with the progress, but I'm not sure whether he's going to qualify us for this year, or the first time he's going to qualify us on the minor aspect. Last year he gave us an unqualified body, but he was moving many body changes, the vehicles, transport, the weapons, the major defense equipment, as well as the immobile properties, immobile assets that he covers. So he gave us unqualified body. Now this year we're going to be going to chairs and tables. Now how many chairs and tables do we have in the first course? It's going to be a nightmare. If we can get to unqualified body with strong members, I think we should be a major achievement. That's what we're making. For this financial year that has ended, but more so, if we don't win the financial year that has ended, definitely 2014 we must. Thank you. These are some of the training instruments we have identified as for criteria for this financial year, including corruption and fraud. Our anti-corruption plan is now adopted last year, being implemented, and this year we would like to focus on the reporting system of this corruption. Like most of the visible corruption is being addressed through our system, the Department of Infrastructure, in the Department of Defense. We still have to be more, I think, aggressive in going out to test out corruption and not wait for the corruption to be reported, but to go and investigate whether there is any corruption going on. In other words, to be more proactive rather than just reactive when it comes to corruption. We don't want to react to report corruption, but we want to proactive to find out whether there is corruption going on or not. And the internal body the second type of presentation is now going to look at the medium-term expenditure framework. This is just the budget summary of this current year, which will be taking you through the report of the annual performance plan, but I will be coming back to it into detail at what end. I will not going to address the slide right now. I would like to go through this part, the economic report you have. So when I look at the budget, I can align the budget to our government. The economic information is based on our FDOD areas of financial expenditure. National expenditure has to be aligned and in reformed. So I'm just drawing the attention in terms of what informs the economic information, what formats do we use to present our economic information, looking into the legislative mandate, the output delivery rules, the funding initiative for it, the trend of the information, the outcome, and also we have been informed by the legislature that our performance information now must also be linked to the national development plan. The performance information will be the indicators. We will show you targets that we want to reach, and these are only selected indicators. I didn't go through all the indicators, so I'm just going to go through them quickly. But these are what we consider as major indicators that we are highlighting here. The combined uses that are sent by both agreements. With that, our agreement with SADC is that we provide so many in terms of external committee, as a department, when we do such things, we are not able to say exactly we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 external departments. But we have to do our analysis, regional analysis, and based on those analysis, then put our equity as to what is going to happen. We are saying currently we have three external employment, and for deep financial debt, first 18, we are preparing for 4 external employment, and we think we are then planning for 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 15 to keep it at 6 external employment, and our target for it is to meet 100% of those requirements when when it comes to the internal operations, these internal operations arise maybe from disaster management, from major event management, like the Cup of Nations, where that thing we asked over the last past financial year that we have not yet planned for. But we are currently at 4 deployments, and for this financial year we are planning for internal deployments of about 5. But going further, because of the budget cut, we would like to cut on our internal employees for the next year. When it comes to the inter-departmental exercises, these ones are more predictable because we can either request, organize, initiate the military joint inter-exercise with other countries, and or we can do our own general military exercise, and we can either accept or deny a request to participate in various military exercises. So for last year we had a total of 6, and for this financial year we would like to have 8, and maybe the others, for this financial year we would like to plan for 9, just in terms of our various interactions with various departments and countries. For 13, 14, but after that, I want to keep those exercises for 8 for 14, 15 years. When it comes to the skills development, development members, these are the people that we have to take to the intake. We do run about June, July, August, and then we train them for about 2 years, and then after that, they can then go and prepare another year for various deployments. For this financial year, we took 11,000. And for the financial year 15, 14, and 18, we are almost cutting in half because we do not have the budget. So it means if we cut half during this financial year and we go to 13, 14, we will be down to about 4,000. And 14, 15, down to about 4,000 as opposed to where we started at 9 and 10 when we were paying about 8,000. It means then that 3 years from today, 3 years come 2015, and 3 years from 2015 come 2019 or 2020. Every Department of Defense will be under resources, human resources that we're going to need for those deployments. Because if it takes about 3 to 4 years to get your intake here to be ready for the deployment, the number of deaths that we are going to utilize this financial year will be about 12. And then we have about 24, and we cut out to 23 and 22 after the financial budget. And then now, of course, our flow here at defense, measures that are going on right now, whether in Central Africa, whether in the DRC, whether in Sudan, and other, if we just put in to be able to respond to the extent to the deployment of both, and even in the world for our border patrols, for our coastal patrols, I hear all the time how poor our borders are and how poorly defended our coastal lines are. You will not hear code in this number of rising up, and there's nothing can do about it. Because we are coming from here, from where when good pleasure and tell them that this is not possible, we will not be able to defend the country. Pleasure is just imposed. They tell us that we are better than we can do it. Now this is what it goes. And the same thing at the sea. But at the sea, we have to try, there is no way we're going to be able to defeat. We've already been ordered to go to solve it, to go and upgrade our naval station in the naval base. For that, we have to put whatever funds we're getting into the number of hours for that is going to be utilized for our upgrade of the Navy for 2025-2030. When you look at the border safeguarding, the border safeguarding when we gave to the tender, everybody knows how far our border comes. The number of companies that we need to deploy in order for our border to be released is safeguarded. 21. But the target we are putting for this financial year is 20 instead of 21. And for where we are today, we have 11 companies. We hope to ramp that up to 20 companies. But if you come to the federal, they say, no, we don't have funds yet. We will give you funds for financial year 15-16 so that you have 19 companies in the financial year 15-16. But the problem I think that I have as a member of the committee is that where are these companies going to come from? Because we have already been so on the budget that we have been cut here. It means that if you want to have 19 companies here, your MSPS uptake right here, this year, must be at 10,000. And you saw the MSPS cut here.
6,300.
So that even if Federal says, I will give you money to deploy in 15-16, we will not be able to deploy those 19 companies in 15-16 because we will not have trained those people. Unless you want to deploy untrained people like me and many others. You feel about it?
I'm trained.
But just quickly on the public agencies, according to the Relative Authority, which are going to be here to our parents, by the framework to draw to bring them to the attention. We are just highlighting here that there is a roadmap of peace of the National Center. And they require us to have an integrated strategic management. In other words, they have indicated that when you get what you have for the director general, we are not just going to go to take on the financial management. We are not going to be going to take on our performance information, whether we are meeting our targets. That's and 24 major areas as a child. What is the target? What is the indicator? What is the target? What is the status of the organization? And who is responsible? And how we reach and what are the time frame to take an this is how we can take into account the inputs into the activities, the outputs, and outcomes. Also, this performance equation includes the impact of the organization. And the output then of that, we are just reflecting some of the ideas which how this performance equation is set up. Hierarchy is expressing the description of the output. In this particular case, it has to be accompanied with the government policy and strategy. And the compliance of the indicator with the percentage of what we need to achieve. In this particular case, the general operation, the flexibility of the equipment. Here we are suffering. We spread our truth under the United Nations. When the United Nations do their assessment of the performance of our troops, they will count the number of services a year. If they come and find that so many families or military vehicles are parked in the camps and they are not functional, they are not serviceable, when they reimburse us, they will subtract that amount of we are going to get to reimbursement. And that becomes a problem with the budget issues that come at the end of the country. That if the budget were not able to service for a vehicle, we would deploy this equipment, if it's not serviceable for a year, they would have reimbursement. But we are just highlighting to the member the number of people, including output number two, which is the mission ready and express the ability to provide sound defense direction to the chief of the national defense force. And when it comes to the various policies, it will be the Secretary of Defense to ensure that there is compliance in all our outputs with various regulations. On the administrative side, these are the operations that the decisions of various indicators, including the issues of the disciplinary action, the military court cases that are outstanding litigation, and also coming in the very strong report from the government saying that the number of service providers paid within a state state and ensuring that as a department we have an enterprise risk management, which is the responsibility of the Secretary for Defense. So these are, all of this is part of our resolution of performance information in our performance plan. I'm not going to be here because she's there in our product, the health treatment we have.
Strategic
direction and strategic approach, which is concerning pain in our two have this now we have some information for the example and the second. Maybe we can now quickly look at a budget. Information and our last part of our presentation. I thought before I look at the budget that we have for section 14, we just quickly review how we did with the financial year that ended in March. Members of the committee, as you can see, this is what we did to reprioritize our project, because during the financial year we realized that we were not able to meet the project that were being presented to us in terms of the funds and the special indicators that we need to reprioritize within our department. So the final appropriation that we had was 37.8 billion and our expenditure was 37.7. So it means that for the last financial year we didn't underspend, we didn't overspend as such. We almost spent what we planned to spend. But we were left with 186 million that was unspent out of 37.8 billion. The reason we had this unanticipated is because we had a contingency plan that we had to make, because we were going to terminate the contract of AMG that aircraft maintenance by the general contractor. And we knew that there was going to be liability of terminating that contract as members of the committee know that has been running since the 80s. So we put this aside. Now, for us to be able to pay for the retrenchment of those specialists maintaining the aircraft under the AMG, we had to involve in various consultations with the NEM Public Enterprise, consultation with Treasury, consultation with the state attorneys in terms of what is the liability of the responsibility of the Department of Defense, and appropriately so also where we are right now in consultation with the Minister and the Treasurer, and now we are consulting with the committee, honorable members of the committee, we are consulting with you, requesting that you approve us to apply for the 186 million that is now given to Treasurer as of the 31st of March, for us to get it back so that we can then put it as a general support for the general energy contract that we are terminating. We have been having baseline reduction from once they have been at the NPM. In 9 years, the reduction was 150 million. In increasing to a point where we are now starting this financial year, when you compare to the MTF that we were receiving, or were being allocated all of these years, that we were being allocated from 2011, 2012, when we get to 2030, our allocation, MTF allocation, has now been reduced by 1.7 billion. And the Treasury is telling us that, but for the current year, 2014, by 1.13 billion. And the Treasury is telling us that for the 2015 and the 2015-2015, we can assure the members that this is as it is today. Come next year, this is going to be reduced further, and this is going to be reduced further. And this, the slide is not clear, but the main one is not going to detail it. We were just looking at our that when we put what we request and what we receive from time to time,
what is
we
PBD?
See this the reduction on what
we have
here. I want to see that you might be able to see, but we are being told the Treasury is
ready to
post that for the financial year 2013-2014, they are going to cut the we will have only this amount for the members of the defense. So if you mean that the way we look at the amount that they are allocated, they are saying that on 2014, we're going to have 78,000 employees. That must be cut, reduced to 76,000 employees, and further reduced to 73,000 employees. So the number of, which is only on our soldiers, yes, they are asking us further to be reducing the number of soldiers from 78,000 all the way down to 73,000. And this at the time when, as you know, the age group within the members of the defense force, as you know, the attrition processes, as well as the requirements of the defense force. The requirements of the defense force is increasing year by year, but it's expected to reduce year by year on the number of employees that have to change. I think that's what this is really the direct government quotation from the letter, allocation letter that we received from Treasury in November. Literally telling us that this is what we are going to do. Because the only amount we're going to allow to use is better than that, telling us we can't take money from anyone to pay for the pay for salaries. When you ask what is this based on, they say it is based on the 1998 strategic review. I think the 1998 strategic review, when I will check them on text personally, about the army staying in the barracks and the SEM staying in the hospitals and the navy staying in the naval dockyard or in the naval bases.
Yeah.
The 1998 does not talk about deployment on the border, what deployment, it does not talk to deployment in security operations, and it does not talk to people support the fighting values and the manufacturing of poachers. So the Treasury is basically on that strategy. We hope that when the new 2013 strategy gets to the members of the portfolio committee for discussion and review, we will highlight that we have to change that defense review so that Treasury can also use that defense to be cutting the number that we are doing. When we submit our budget to you, we have to submit budget that indicates that we will cut the number of the defense force. And as to the education, then it's worth identifying that. Even here, we are just continuing on that letter, just highlighting the return of reduction that we are in November, 250 million here, 300 million, and 50 million there for now. And in February, they came up with a further as well. So this is our the allocation that we have received. This is the allocation that the members of the committee are engaged with, the allocation that we are asking that we will be presenting at our budget for 2022. When we're talking about what are things that the allocations can see, Treasury will come and talk of additional funds allocated to the paper. And here on the border safeguarding, they are not allocating anything additional yet to 2014. They are not allocating anything to 2015. The only additional allocation that was taken for border safeguarding is in 2015. And if you get the additional funding, this is where you will start additional training then for companies that will be deployed on our border. If we start additional training in 2015, definitely they won't be ready for border deployment until 2020. Most of them. I'm not going to go into the details, but all that information is in front of them. Of members, just to break down the allocation of the implication of this question, I think numerous reallocations within the programs and sub-programs. We're going to find that coming to the committee to inform and update the committee quarter by quarter about the government movement of funds from one to another program, because each time when we get reductions, we're told that we prioritize and reprioritize, we mean the environment moving funds from one program to another. And this also will have a major impact both on the minister that has seen yesterday, yes, performance agreement that we might not be able to meet our targets as required by the regulation framework. This is the allocation for the financial year 2014 that the committee to approve and to recommend the parliament for our allocation on the final vote for the NPF. For this financial year on the 14th, and this is how we hope to get regularization of fourth environment, then what is the general agenda, and that is the second chair. that the chief of services has already said that we have set up this as a management information center. We have taken people away from the, when they were in the headquarters of services into the headquarters of logistics. But we are not saying what we need to do now to make sure that the chief services themselves remain with capability for their affected. In the constitution, the territorial
translate to this passage.
But to me, that kind of people are supposed to be living. God being treated in the Caribbean in moral particles. Because that is your man and no one else. But any other department is supposed to play a supportive role in that. In terms of the teacher, the mental skill development system, who would like to hear this committee of the same content of the mental skill development and says that over two over the ways are mental and skill. Mental and skilled people. So that those members of this MSPS who are not absorbed in the discussion are able to employ it. I think it's now very important for this committee to know what is the content of that training that this MSPS has given. The second one, Chair, is from the head of the defense review. Has the department completely owned responsibility in terms of the fault line and the fault touch? So we've been hearing that the building is that they're doing that, they have not seen it. And time has run out. So where was the discussion? I think we can find out things now. The brilliant position, Chair. There is evidence that there is abuse. The reason I'm saying that is that he went to the FOB and then did come to request as a member of the defense to talk to us, the member of parliament. The minute he left, members of the House left, right, and center. In those FOB. Now it does show that there is a bias in that process. Or for the sake that members are told that they cannot even go to the honor to launch their claims. It's terrible. That was still living in the past. On this round, Chair, I think I have my last two. Now, the deadline is talking about the mayor's other hand that the treasury is instructed on the numbers of current members of the board. How do we intend to do this cut? Cut of human bodies, that is. Are you going to be implementing them? Or how? Or will we still be talking with the technical strategy that we have never seen at this point. There are long awaited exit mechanisms that we have been waiting at this point. Because we need to know what is it that we are going to be dealing with. And the last one I want to share is payment to the AMG. The 186.482 that again, the Chair, the last time you were told that the department is still on negotiation to the AMG. Now, I would agree that this money must not go to the Treasury, must come back to the department so that they can make the trip. But also, in this community, we want to know what is it that we are agreed to. Because the contract was not fixed, which to me, it would mean that the
contract was running on monthly. And I would assume that the department is paying out every month or monthly for this contract. And my question would be, what is this amount for? What is the legal advice and the legal advice are saying now? And the whole range of all the people that you mentioned, they said that you have contacted. And having meetings are saying this money is not paid. What is important? Before I start sharing, I know we are dealing with the ADP and the budget board. But I don't think it would be correct for me to this COVID of not making mention of the saga that I told you this past week. And I think all of us know what we're talking about. But it would be important that this COVID that gets started. I don't want us to get out of the agenda of the day. But I'm just saying to yourself, unfortunately, I don't see the chief of the ASA in here, but yourself, just like, that will be very important. We need that time so that this point is easy to work again.
Thank you, Honorable Dallas. I think other matters will be discussed later. Let us now stick to our budget board and our American government plan. Honorable Menina, Honorable Bowie, Honorable Mango, if you raise your hand.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to begin by dealing with another saga. Now, over the past few weeks, over the past few days, obviously the story that has dominated the news cycle has been the whole question of Gupta Gate. Government called a press conference and has formed a task team which are now investigating the matter, and I'll get back to this. But a much more serious issue and tragedy took place weeks before that, and that was the situation in CAR. And as far as I'm aware, despite the fact that 13 soldiers, now 14 soldiers, passed away, there's been no investigation. My question to you, Secretary General, is there an investigation into the events that led up to and what took place in the Central African Republic? If so, when do you expect that investigation to be complete, and will there indeed be a report that would be made public? That's the first question. The second question is, the Defence Force are now being deployed, we understand, to the DRC under a new mandate, which is unique. That mandate would require the SANDF to possibly conduct offensive operations to root out the rebels in the DRC. That is a unique mandate and a unique mission. We as a committee have a duty to ensure that the SANDF has required capacity to execute that mission. And my question to you is, in the light of the very significant capability gaps that were revealed in the CAR, and in the light of the budget cuts, does the SANDF have the capacity it requires to execute the mission in the DRC? My final question on force employment. You have been at pains to spell out the fact that the operating budget of the SANDF has been significantly reduced. I would be very interested if, per program, you could traverse the consequences of those budget cuts, particularly for landward defense, maritime defense, air defense, and the military health services. For example, we read in respect of air defense that recruitment has stopped and that pilot training has ceased as a result of the budget cuts. I would be looking there for the specific consequences per program to the operational effectiveness of the Defence Force. Chair, then the whole question of the Defence Review. Key to everything is the Defence Review. And if the Defence Review does not succeed, I've said this before, the Defence Force is not going to succeed. I wonder if you could spell out the process that will be followed during this financial year in respect of completing the Defence Review, completing the force design, and then properly informing Parliament. Because one of my concerns in this in the process is that Parliament has been, to a large extent, excluded from the process. And bear in mind, in your planning, Parliament are going to have to receive that document, scrutinize that document, possibly hold public hearings on that document, and finally approve that document. I would be pleased if you could sketch out the processes, particularly in respect to the force design. That is key. Then the whole question of defense acquisition. In all the documents, the ENE and the SANDF's annual report, there are clues to defense acquisition programs. In air defense, there's a clue, there's reference to a maritime surveillance aircraft acquisition program. In maritime defense, there's reference to Project Biro and Project Hotel. And in landward defense, there's reference to a landward equipment renewal project. But nowhere in the documents are the projects, the key defense acquisition projects, the budgets, and progress in respect of each project set out. So my question to you is, in respect of defense acquisition, what are the key projects that will be executed during this financial year? What are the total budgets in respect of each project, and what progress has been made in respect of each project? Finally then, just to close this round, to pick up on the point that the Honourable Daniels made, we cannot ignore the context, and the context in the news cycle at the moment is Guptagate. Just simply, Secretary SecDef, are we on track to complete the report on Guptagate by Friday? That would be the seven-day deadline, and will that report be made public? Thank you.
Thank you, Sir President. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Member of Parliament. You say you have done a very good job. You must be very good. There's a lot of plans and improvement in how your information is flowing. That should be welcomed and standard. Out of my experience as a member of Parliament, you've done a very good job. I did press the mic, but I don't know what to do. So you've done a very good job, President. I must say you have improved the image of the organization and how you're presenting the information that is needed. So it will be based on how you have improved the organization that we have to encourage you to do more. So part two has been very critical of some of your presentations, and part two will be encouraging. For me, part of the bridge should not only be treasure. It must be your place. You must blame yourself as a defense. Because there's no way you expect anybody to violate policy to make you happy. Because if you don't bring the review forward to treat it as terrorists, you can't expect Treasury to do totally differently like that. And then from 1998 to today, we're starting to get a review to go on. That should be something that we should all question ourselves, what are we doing as a collective here? Because if you want to do the cost design, if you want to improve, you can't expect treasury to harvest anything that they have done to be able to maintain the image of Africa. So I'm of the same view that please, not just to explain the process, but how do you want to try to handle it and make sure that it does. We are holding the election financing. So it means another 10 is going to be ending. So if I so far the decision to people in the city is becoming like a nice place of employing others for people to do this job until another 10. So for me, find a way of being able to bring the review forward. Concluded at an early stage. So that the challenges that are going to be introduced. So for me, in the way you prioritize it, can't turn it into people. But the first thing to do is deal with the review and bring it so that everyone could be able to conclude and give others the number of final access to the final line and make sure that the whole stand up for them go to the election and get the people. So that we don't have the challenges that we have. You see that what influences me more, I hear the incidents of the students, and they are very they are damaging the image of our own country. They are not helping us. Leave alone how one will have to attend that. But you see, for me, as long as we don't uphold the constitution, that becomes very serious indictment against all of us, wherever we are placed. You see, if I want to be more rigorous, I mean more aggressive towards you to say that at the end of the day, as the one who kills the responsibility, you should, as someone who made an oath, you should be able to get that, to violate the constitution of the country, to carry that law on your shoulders. And for me, these events are indicating to us that, and you can't put that responsibility to our treasure. You must do this thing with review and finish it, because the president, like I just said, entering into and engaging with the Nigerians, took up a piece of stuff with him. Now he seems to be the man who doesn't deliver, but to me, professors, who are a collective in this country, this committee is not doing it right. That's what comes back. We are the ones that are not being able to make sure that the professors got capacity. And how would people have been present there to treasure? What are we doing? The responsibilities are piping upon how South Africa could have been set up for 20 years. And it's correct what many are saying that what is going to happen now in the DRC. There's a lot of expectation upon us. And those relationships can be abandoned. South Africa wants to improve its own image in the African continent. But to look for a company of foreign policy, it's something that seems that we have to do. You can't walk out from it. So what is it? And you must know that, because if ever you always send an essay that doesn't have capacity into Africa, that is better than the shoot. And they are not, they have clearly said it many a time that South Africa stay out of all the places, because if you can't, they are going to shoot us. What happens in the middle is going to come and affect us. That's what there is concern about. But that responsibility can be directed to the President Maduro. What are we saying to the community? What are you putting upon when you are outlining your own deployment strategies? If you reflect on this type of challenge, it is going to affect us. And we need to be able to do something in terms of this. You see, so for me, really it's a big challenge. And that challenge depends on the type of policy. And lastly for me, which I don't have a sense that you're prepared for, without the impact on the Indian NDP, we have not yet crossed what is into the NDP. And that becomes the challenge. That what is that you expect us to prove and relate in terms of the NDP. I mean, well, that's about the issue of government now. It has been adopted, it has been accepted. What are you doing to it? And how are we crossing it? So that when we do the review and we deal with all these things, we do know that that could be the challenge. It's already integrated into our plan. When will we be able to have capacity to do that? Thank you.
I thought you said it's not a big question.
Oh, I'm
honorable.
happened before, then what it is, not to stop, then what it is, it
happened. I want to ask for another one, and if you keep on the situation, you can tell where we're going to be.
manage to have an oil will deploy in all the corners of our country, because the limit of the president been going on by the younger the report.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, respected officials and honourable members. I think much has been said about the defence, and it's quite an enormous task to respond to all the issues raised, but I think just to focus, some of my colleagues have mentioned earlier, and I think it's very important that we stress this at this particular juncture, is that we operate within a constitutional environment. We operate within a policy regulation environment. And if the defense review is a fundamental issue that will determine the impact of budgets and budget cuts and all those, then it does not make sense that this has been delayed. And this has not been concluded speedily. Because then it shows absolutely no commitment from this government and its people to the defense and the importance of defense. So I read this document and I see a world of paradoxes. For instance, one reads about the reserves. In 2012-13, in fact, it's a mistake, currency be shifted to the next column. 2012-13 says 12,900 reserves. 2013-14 speaks to 24,243 reserves. However, we find the increase in the budget is from 21.5 million in 12-13 to 23.2 million. And it's almost double the amount of reserves that we want to employ. Now, that doesn't make sense in terms of paying out. And also, if there's a reduction in the force of 10,000 that needs to be looked at, is that what we are dealing with effectively, is complement the defense force with a reserve force? Because effectively, look at the figures, if that is the cut and that is the increase. But the increase in the payment does not match. And one can carry on with a number of these issues throughout the budget, where it is simply does not synergize, it does not meet the requirements. And it's a very gloomy picture that's been painted by the head of defense. If you look at General Sri's report on it, it does not, bode well for any of us and for our country to have those type of comments that speak to the issue on page 28 and 29 of the presentation. If one looks at those numbers and the impact it has on the defense itself, and the future of defense. In fact, the issue of the flying hours being reduced and implications from the hours at sea and the implications. Although the maritime budget and the request made by the department has been sustained at 585 million over the MTF, I don't see why this is reduced. If that has been sustained, why has the number of hours been reduced? So there's a contradiction in terms of what money is being requested and what services are being delivered on the other hand. Clearly the deployment, if we look at 300,000, that is how I read the one document that says 300,000 in the outer year of the MTF for borderline security or borderline patrols, then it's impossible to employ 19 companies. Impossible with the money allocated. So we can carry on. The AMG contract, it's alluded to that 153 million is going to be kept aside as part of probably the payout and settlement and whatever needs to be done and the rollover, whatever needs to be done to deal with the cancellation of that contract. But the implications are very clear. What is the actual status? What contingency? And I know that has been put off and this committee has not been briefed on the actual contingency plan to see that our Air Force has the capability, is able to run effectively. We have no idea there's no briefing. And there's supposed to have been a contingency plan and a briefing of this committee has been postponed and postponed, like many other matters. So I have a great concern. The worst capability is also creating jobs on the one side, but retrenching actual soldiers. So there's going to be an upgrade of the CAT, the Center for Advanced Training, to transfer skills, Honorable Chair, to members. How effectively is that being planned and being executed when people have to be retrenched and there's exit mechanisms in place to ensure that people can actually find a job or fit to get a job out there or within the various departments of government or even opportunities within the Defence Force under the worst capability with the agreement with the Department of Public Works? What is the situation of that worst capability? And secondly, what's the cost-benefit analysis actually done to compare the in-house maintenance and repairs and refurbishment versus the public works contribution itself? The audit findings, I find the reading of the report, it is extremely sketchy. It does not give any specifics to deal with the actual audit findings. It is extremely sketchy and does not convince me that the audit findings have all been addressed effectively. I think that we need to have a greater insight into what actually is being done to overcome those difficulties. Because in many instances, consultants will still be used extensively. And secondment will still be used effectively. So people will be coming in to service the defense in particular areas, and we've got certain things that needs to be executed, that needs to be done. So capacity issues, how soon can those things be addressed? And to ensure that we do not have the Auditor General finding again the same recurring problems. And particularly the asset management, what effectively has been done to eliminate that? Because that was only a temporary waiver. It is not a permanent waiver, it's a temporary waiver. Will we be able to execute it before the Auditor General executes his task of investigating and finding out if measures have been put in place effectively? Can we rest assured that that is in place? Of course, we are looking at the defense review all the time and the reference made, and that's why I find it sometimes ludicrous to read that we are looking at capabilities like research and development in certain areas. And that's based on an NDP, a National Development Plan, and based on a defense review process. But when I read further, everything is based on a 1998 defense review and not the current defense review. Although there's reference made to certain planning of the current defense review that is not implemented. So it doesn't make sense. How can we plan on something which is not a fait accompli, that is already accepted and that must be now introduced into the new defense, in defense? That makes a contradiction. One end we work on one, and on the other we want to introduce new concepts or new things based on a document which is not verified, not approved yet by government. I think that we need to get clear in our approach. The budget increase, as we can say effectively, is at 0.58%. Which cannot address any of the real needs, and the wish list of the department clearly shows us there is no inclination from Treasury that they're going to move. And Treasury effectively cannot move unless defense reviews are in place, policies are in place, regulations are in place. They can only work on that basis to disburse money. If that is not in place, we can continue to complain, and they will be justified in not disbursing and transferring money to this particular department. So the urgency, I don't know how we can stress it from all the members that have spoken, this remains a serious matter. The other matter which I'd like to raise is a concern for us. It's also the employment of our soldiers in international missions, particularly our commitment to the African continent, that the president's letters, most instances, it is not submitted timely, and when it happens over recess periods, there is no special meeting called of the Joint Standing Committee as well to address those issues. We find that there's a commitment from department that they will have the money reimbursed, which means they can make every effort to claim it. But the APP speaks about 75 to 80% reimbursement only. So, yes, the leadership wants to ensure 100%, but the APP says, no, it's not really going to work. We're going to get much less. So we have a problem, that's from the AU, what about the South region, there's also about the UN. Do they follow the same principle? Does the UN reimburse us, or don't they reimburse us? Does the AU reimburse us, or don't the SADC region, if it's with certain countries, do they also reimburse us, or do we have to pay the cost? And that is taken from the current budget and used for those contingencies which we did not plan for. In fact, those presidential letters as well do not clarify always the reasons clearly, and neither the cost attached to it, which is a grave concern for any defense. Where does it actually come from? If there's a 0.58% increase in a budget, and we've got to accommodate so many contingencies, and the one contingency, the CAR, was budgeted effectively at 1.2 billion, and not a few million, it was 1.2 billion. That is no way to be catered for. So I think I have grave concerns with all these paradoxes within the system, and fundamentally, it rests on a defense review that we have not completed our fundamental tasks that needs to be accepted, and based on the acceptance, we will find the relevant support and also funding for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable.
Chair, on a point of order. I assume your ruling does not exclude the CAR. The CAR is in fact in the presentation, and the budget allocations are all reflected. The CAR is absolutely real. And so is Gupta.
Thank you very much, members of the committee. For you, let me also express our sincere appreciation for the kind words that we have received from the Department of Defense for this presentation this morning. We will commit ourselves to continue to serve our country and our people with continuous improvement in our work, whatever is necessary. We'll be assisted in our honorary chairperson by the team here with us. So from time to time, I will be mentioning people to tell you. Especially, we welcome also the support that we are receiving, that our annual performance plan is an outcome-based approach, as mentioned by Daniel. The emphasis that is coming through on the recognition of corruption as we headed, we do have the anti-corruption plan for the Department of Defense, which is headed by the Inspector General, who from time to time provides support to the Army Minister and Chief of the National Defense Force on progress or lack of it in the implementation of our anti-corruption plan. The questions were raised and comments raised around the processes of the defense review, which we fully agree with the members, compare 100% with the members highlighting the importance of the process being fast track so it can come to some conclusion. Our last of the financial talk when I'm done, she has a planning on the defense review. And then we follow by Carol Antoine, who will talk on the post design, the post structure, including the defense review. But just to give comfort to the members of the committee that the terms of the defense force is not waiting for the defense department to continue to engage in the first line of structure development, and that process will be explained by General Swan. And also, General Rogers, if please, on the justice issue, when the issues of, I mean, in our own performance plan, we talk about grievances. who a member of the committee knows very much, used to be chief and staff of the department, now in fact we have set up the department, to establish that task team that we collected by both of us for the migration of defense work from public work into the Department of Defense. And that is one of the priorities of this financial year 2014. Yes, there needs to be capacity building, training, and we have a major role to play in that. I agree that maybe this is not the book that you should explain that better than the first page management, that this is not the platform that you discuss that, but that will inform the committee that very core of the Director General's committee is affected in 7 working days after writing and the CPS. So 7 working days. In legal terms, Monday to Friday. So it's not expected this Friday, it's expected next week, Wednesday. So I know that the newspaper, the Sunday evening, quote a colleague, 7 days, but other children, they think that it is not a thing that's the first of the day of the week, the day of the week. No, no, no. 7 working days. Then we have the report. Then, also, our attempt to highlight the children of the chapter. That, as you know, we are here to serve and serve as a pleasure of the committee. Do not have a comment on it. Then we can talk about the processes on the political side, but the committee side of reporting, whether the members in this format want us to report on the committee, want us to report on that, which we can oblige us to do about it. To provide the report. And that's the same thing as the AG. We had two figures, but we indicated that we do have the AMG termination, contract termination threat, and we do indicate that as the department we are ready to send the termination and that is going and that is going to be in terms of the that's why that I wanted to highlight that we want to be fully compliant with the process of the committee there from time to time to guidance of the committee. And the one area where I also need the guidance of the committee is to the request raised by Honorable here on the acquisition plan, acquisition process, that is defense acquisition process. Which is concern all of us, especially the human class, as an accounting officer, this money accepted the decision to come and present to the Defense Council the 13-14 Defense Force acquisition project. See where they are, how are they going to go, how much is it going to be all over, how much is it going to be spent, and really how much water is going to be spent. Not only was about that making this decision, but it was something that he needed. So they had a very excellent presentation. I was very happy with the presentation. The point whereby I agree now that we do have 54% of the water and I was very that it's mainly and only have 34% of the water. I was going to be a winner that I have to see. Yes. The person that was going to come, and I was sure that they would go in a virtual mode, that in 2 weeks they would want to see that figure. So that presentation is there. Just that if I would advise how we want to present this, because not for public consumption. What general cabinet gives to them, but even he himself, he can only send people of security clearance to audit that acquisition plan and his budget. There, well done, and a very good presentation is just guided by the process. As I say, I'm here to serve, whatever process we have to define for us to serve, we will be able to serve. Then also, if you are on the environment, there is a question relating to the how are we going to reduce the person that is infected or is infected or exposed to the population? I wish I had that answer. I think what I'm surprised was very honest. The only thing I know I'm going to do is that those who die won't be infected.
Seems to have gone AWOL. Mandate of an association for the territorial integrity of the country.
in terms of peace and stability in the country being a prerequisite for any social economic development. So we have aligned our performance plan and the weapons and our programs in the development plan to say if the national development plan says peace and stability, the prerequisite for social economic development in the country, then what actions, what programs do we have to ensure peace and stability in the country? So that the nation can implement it. That's how we have approached the nation program, the young channel that we have. And also, when yesterday I feel that there is a lot of work that has been done on the ground by the Department of Defense. Unfortunately, we think, ahead of our communication, because we always get to communicate every Monday, that the work that we do is not known out there in the public. The only time that people hear about the Department is when there has been something negative that has happened affecting the Department of Defense. We're not saying that the negative events or issues, events that have negative impact on the defense market. We are only saying that maybe we should allow the public to get the full picture of what the Department of Defense is doing so that we can have that, so that the public will know in terms of why, when it comes to the Portfolio Committee requesting for more funds, why are we requesting more funds for the department because of this work that I think we need to do more and think of the body of things and care when you program number four because of what we need to do with the legacy of the past and so on. I think only important of me that the situation that comes from the department. But speaking on the border garden, just to address since we move the function of what I mean from the police to the Department of Defense Force in 2009, so what have we done? We and which borders are protected in general. In terms of deployment of the company, we do analysis of the situation constantly. I think the last part we did, which didn't reinforce what we did last time, was that we would require 21 companies to make sure that of what I mean. Botswana, Zimbabwe, more than 1,000 in the city, are effectively protected. Up to now, we have only deployed, I think, for that financial year, when we started that financial year, we were at 11, and we are now ramping up to 13. I think for the current financial year, we want to ramp up to 13. And we don't see ourselves in 3 to 4 years' time, then if you want. 19, let alone getting to 21 because of the budget that we have. So it means border with Namibia, not defended. Botswana, not defended. Zimbabwe, part. Mozambique, part. Swaziland, Lesotho. Swaziland is not the same part. So that's where we are. And we appeal to the rules of the Commission. That is because, actually, deploying along the borders. Should be one of our major priorities in terms of what the whole defense is all about. And I think one of them is I think we have highlighted that importance of aligning. How we might have to measure aligning the performance with the budget. Aligning, sometimes we find those conversations that look like we're not aligned and criteria. But in terms of the reserve force, the number of the reserve force, I would like us, I'm going to ask our team to look into the number of reserve force, but I remember I also raised a question. I was not sure about the number of the reserve force, where that was. We're putting the degree, because I had asked the revision of the number after February, Cabinet group that went to 7% and that requires for reduction that includes that. We don't need the number of reserve force. I don't see the change in the in our performance plan or in our position. One might first highlight that also guided by the process of Parliament and the Portfolio Committee, we do have that is our objective. We do have a full effort to support what they call the measures being taken to comply with the Washington Plan. Maybe the members of the committee might just request that when we present the next quarter report, we spend some time on that work plan. Because and also might be inviting the other members, and I know that sometimes the committee members and all that, to also hear the petition from him, specifically as to whether the department has been made progress as the other body findings from last year. As I indicated, that quarter of the last quarter of the last one, the functional year has served as 5%, and the quarter of 2015 ended up giving 1%. I just want to make sure there's no other red space that is caught in terms of no different spaces from
is the responsibility of everyone in the organization.
that is the culture that we are receiving at the moment, to make sure that is the responsibility of everyone. How are we going to achieve that? We are saying each and every office, each and every working house, it should have the inventory list on the door. The reason why is that, so that when the auditors come, they don't have to go to the pile of this report. They still look at the door and count the assets immediately. You already achieved one ambition, which is the existence. Now, you go to the completeness from the floor to the asset register. Immediately, you want the asset list on the door. You only achieve immediately the door. You only left with the last operation, which is the valuation now, which is the price. In order for us to address the thing of the price, we need to go all out. Like what I'm talking right now, on Wednesday and Friday, I will be addressing all the facts throughout the country to make sure that all the supporting documentation for the asset that we purchased, for the asset that we disposed, we need to receive. The reason why we are doing that, so that we will know all the assets that for cash addition that we need in the current financial year, we need to get those documentation in order to reconcile with our asset register. That is another area that we need to focus into. The other area that the members the highlighting is in terms of the media. Those, we can't simply have the department just to focus on assets. We need also to maintain what we already claim to make sure that while we are cleaning the asset, we are not going back to the things that we already done. So, in terms of the doing that, where the department got different forums, different committees, to make sure that we monitor the progress as the department. That's where we are at the moment. Even the dashboard, as the same dashboard was saying, that the dashboard is also showing the improvement. Also the continuous engagement with the AG. As I'm talking right now, because it was a previous meeting, we agreed with the AG that only weekly basis we will meet with AG. How that will make sure that at the end of the financial year, when we are presenting the financial statement, we don't jeopardize. That's where we are. We are meeting with AG on a continuous basis. If need be, we also engage with the office of the host of the Attorney General in Switzerland to make sure that things, as the chef has been saying, that we need to comply with all the statutory requirements of the Act. That's what we are doing. Thank
you very much, Chair President. I would want to talk on the first line and the first class. With the understanding that the defense review is currently in its final stage, the chief of the South African National Defense Force has appointed a team that is currently working on the first design and the first part. So the team is going to finish with its work in due course. They are going to present to the military commander now in June, in as far as the first design and the first part are concerned. Coming to the issue of the Central African Republic, I think in the same way that you have covered it, the only addition that I can make that is to say that the chief of the South African National Defense Force said to the team that was waiting on the lessons from the Central African Republic to say that they had to present again in the Ministry Command Council based on the directions we gave them. And that presentation is going to say before the Ministry Command Council on management. Then, if I may talk to the consequences with regard to the budget cut, I am going to say this briefly, the person with the mission. I'll start with the general operations, the areas that have been affected. The cut has affected the general operations in the sense that there is going to be a reduction on the utilization of the reserve force for forces designed this the South African army, the army, the product system management can only maintain up to 220 vehicles. Now in this case, the presentation itself has pointed out to issues concerning the lead investment in terms of the sustainability of our vehicles. And this as well has got many implications when it comes to cost evaluation, because we have to keep on training our soldiers as well. Then, Chairperson, if I may talk as far as the airport is concerned, here we've got a contract, what has been affected is the contractual baseline in terms of the contract that the airport has. And the area that has been affected here is with the contract systems of the airport and the transport systems of the airport, including the infrastructure of the airport, command and control as well as communication. Now, in this regard, the airport as well has to keep on training. We look at the area of the helicopters. In this case, they have to support other services. And it is part of the army and the navy in order to perform their functions as well as maritime security and other parts which they have. Now, the South African navy as well, they have been affected when it comes to the area of in terms of personnel. Now, this affects the critical post in the Navy in terms of the staffing of the system, which will include the engineering capability of the South African Navy. And this is very, very critical. Personnel has been highly affected in this case, and especially the critical post that the Navy has, that is difficult stuff because of this project. And as far as the service is concerned, there is going to be a lot of specialists, particularly physicians. And again, higher buyout expenses for medicine for life threatening cases, zero renewal of clinical equipment, unit stock will drop from a plan of 78% to 65%. And pharmaceutical stock will also drop from 55 to about 50%. These are just in short, how the budget has affected the areas of the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, and the South African Ministry of Defense.
Almost the makeup directly with CSADX in terms of what it is.
confidence boost so that people can bring out the measures from here. So it's a little bit disappointing to hear that there's so many practices of victimizing people in respect to an oversight committee. So it's a great concept to myself. I think it was definitely, this is not what we expect to practice.
This is one in particular, the funding becomes after a very well structured agreement for 3 years. And they were. They go all the way through the Optimal Human Board, and if the members satisfied with the outcome of that from the Human Board, will all the way have home. So in a single case, that went to the Human Board, not satisfied, we have home, not satisfied. Members of anybody, any member of the department is free to write to the Superintendent of the Department and to the appropriate response as well. That case with the event that is in here. Thanks very much, Chairperson. I think you have covered all the points. And
for the question.
Time, you might not have provided the details that will be guided by the Chairperson if there are any other responses that you have been writing up there today.
Yeah.
For the question.
The other one of this, there was a question that the question we take it to the question of the
Chair, I was asking according to the question that was requested by the committee of this week. Oh, yeah, did we need to? Oh, I would say on that one, it's a matter of the joint standing committee and of course the closed committee.
Just allow me to comment on that.
Yeah.
Chair, it would frankly be unconstitutional for the Joint Standing Committee to close a meeting on defence acquisition. I really appeal to the Secretary of Defence to take a second look at this going forward. There can be no reason to withhold information about defence, the names of defence acquisition projects, the budgets of each project, including whether there's an overspend or underspend, and a progress report in respect of defence acquisition projects. I can give you a very detailed briefing on the US defence acquisition progress in respect of the F-35 strike aircraft. That information is available. So I would ask you to review your I just finished my point. Chair, there was a point of order. I was speaking. Can I just finish my point? What's intriguing about this case is that consistently for at least the last 2 years, the Secretary of Defense has refused to disclose any information about defense acquisition. Despite project names and reference to defense acquisition projects being made in official documents and regularly referred to by the Chief of Defense Force and the Service Chiefs. So I'll conclude in briefly. There can only be one category of defense acquisition projects which may need to be dealt with behind closed doors, and that would be acquisition project for defense intelligence.
You know it's very much important that we respect each other, and we should respect the chairperson. You have given a ruling, and all of us have accepted it. Now I'm saying that we should be able to respect what the chair has put in front of us. And that's what the message was. It's not a new approach that many have used now. it was that problem was made because he accepted the committee before. But how do we have this matter of this nature? And then the speaker really said this matter was referred to so that he could make the final ruling. I don't really agree with him, and I don't understand why that is assumed. But it is undermining this person's party. We have given him the following decision.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moon. Honorable Dennis, Stephen Susan.
No, I was also going to say that in this matter, now what Captain AP imagined, that matter is for the John. It will be paid with and therapy pension. Hence, we will return them given an
offer. Thank you very much. I think that is called the
just record my objection. Thanks. Mandy?
Are there or are going to quiet there for a long time, and you do need that money. But you can't behave in a particular way of behaving. You are to live with God.
Thank you, Lord Chair. I think I just want to reiterate the Honourable Boy's view on the matter. Final stage is very like a political answer. I think we officials, we've got a job to do. Where is it exactly? How long does it take? What's the time frame? I don't think we should be final stages. Many things are in final stages that we're waiting for up till now. What I'd like to do is also a reference made to the bodies that are reporting to the department or the minister, the RFC, the DFSC, the OMO. I'd like to know if they have not submitted a report. We can understand the military input. That's a new structure. They have taken shape now. When do they actually report on an APP, SP, and a budget? The DFSC, what is the actual status of the defense, the service commission? What is the status of it? And if they are in position, then they should also be preparing themselves for that. The RFC has been in operation for a long time. Why did we not receive reports as we're supposed to have received reports? I think this is not that we don't hear about them via the Defense Secretariat but we or the Department, but from themselves, the actual report that needs to be submitted. The question I want to also just put is the issue, Honourable Chair, the military umbud, the current status and a full report on the military umbud and its capacity, because there's complaints that the military umbud cannot respond to issues because of lack of capacity. What is the current status? And can they actually deal with issues? And then, of course, for the department, just to relook at all the performance indicators, if all areas have actually been covered, because there's certainly areas that has not been covered even in the administration itself, just to have a look at those performance indicators. And also, in the past, there was certain information disclosed in the previous APP that is now classified in the current one. Just to look at those things. And if information is classified, we don't have a problem with it. But who actually sanctions them? What process is followed to classify information? So if it is a change of a decision made by somebody, then I don't think that is due process. We like to know what actually is the process, because we are the civilian oversight, part of that civilian oversight. We're in a different type of bureaucracy, and therefore we need to be informed about those changes, which we don't have a problem with if it's justified. The other one is on the border safeguarding. I know that we are stretched. There are a number of gaps in our borders, the fences, even the ages report on the contracts that are questionable on the fences. That has not been dealt with yet, but just to raise the issue of we have drone technology. In fact, South Africa is selling drone technology to other countries. Why have we not used that extensively when we have a shortage of manpower to make sure that our borders are properly patrolled and that our farmers, and those are all included, between with Swaziland, with Mozambique, and we've seen the stock theft that has been taking place and people crossing illegally. Why has that not been used extensively when we actually have the capacity in South Africa and the necessary drone technology to cover the gaps on our borders? I didn't hear anybody speak to that issue, and I feel that is a serious oversight, because our borders are porous, our fences are broken, and there are issues. So if that can just be included, Honourable Chair, I'll appreciate it very much. I think I'll end on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
those complaints and officially submit them to the department so that the department has got tangible information that leads them in attending to these comments. The response that I have received from the department is the one that says, at this letter, they are unable to detect those complaints because they may be at other levels. It is not saying that what is it that is will be done in ensuring that our work is not over by the line manager.
Thank you, Chair. I have just one question and one suggestion. But first, let me start by saying that I'm surprised that the department has only commissioned what it refers to as an internal review of what happened in Carr. What happened in Carr was a monumental political and military failure and requires, I think, a course of action much more dramatic than an internal review. But that is a matter that I think will have to be taken up with the Minister. Let me come to the question of the defence review. The defence review, as I think every member of the committee has reiterated, is critical. And I say again, if the defence review does not succeed, the defence force will not succeed. What I would like is a crisp answer to this question from Secretary of Defence. When will the defence review, the force design, and the cost of that force design be presented to this committee? I want a date. Simple as that. The next question is a comment, Secretary. The key argument that you are making is that the defence budget, and particularly the operating budget of the Defence Force, has been stripped to the bone, and that that has certain implications for the efficient performance of the Defence Force. And I'm always surprised by how inept the department is at advancing its case. Let me make a suggestion. Produce a paper of no longer than 5 pages which sets out the background to budget cuts and spells out in simple and detailed terms, not just a simple repeat of these documents, exactly what consequences are for every service in the Defence Force. It is as simple as that. I really appeal to you that the amateur hour has to stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, priorities number two. We're talking about the revitalization services. As we are talking about this, it sounds as though it's outside the Department of Defense, and therefore talking of or about a one-force contract. In that context, you want to recognize full-time and the part-time, which is your best. Now, for that sake, I want to answer all this now. We will need a full presentation on the revitalization, because it also points to only one of them. It's talking about network. What about the other arms of service? That presentation must be inclusive of everything. So that we know everything. The data in terms of the cabinet and every other thing in terms of the effect. Seeing that it should be responsible for the being a chunk of the supplement. Since the treasurer is saying that they must on the membership of, or rather, on the member, or on the numbers of the Defence Force. Back on the chair. 10:11, 11:12, 12:13, now it's 13:14. We have seen the same line in terms of the FDP. And the only thing that we have heard on that is that there's been reprioritizing. What else? We cannot have a Lennon defense that is not currently in all the
Could I just have a two finger? Thank you.
I'm not sure what in the committee when I said we made by the department in terms of budget cuts on the flight hours and also on border safe cutting.
What about this?
Chari, I just wanted to complete my point about the memorandum concerning the consequences of the defence cuts. What's increasingly happening is responsibility is being displaced. In the executive, responsibility is displaced from ministers to officials. And in the legislative branch, it's displaced from parliament to officials. Ultimately, parliament is responsible. And I would suggest, particularly, and I have the minister's PLOs listening, I would suggest that the minister, the secretary of defence, and the chief of defence force change tactics. And the tactics I suggest is that the minister, the chief of defence force, and the secretary of defence spell out the consequences of these budget cuts to the effective operation of the SANDF and then ask Parliament what we're doing about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The budget budget. I'm not sure if it answers your question. Because the budget debate is around the corner. And by the time we go to the debate, we must have had those questions answered. And it is not helping us in the debate for our planning our position as far as the presentation is concerned. So, Chairperson, my view is that, one, we know that water hoses are taking a lot of money from the department. And if there is no sufficient allocation in terms of attending to the board, we will have some problems. In the initial stage, when FNPS was removed from the border, and FNPS goes inside, in the last financial year, we argued that this responsibility doesn't have an allocation. But in the allocation, there is no reflection that there is an added responsibility to the defense. And that added responsibility requires additional funding. There is no indication of that. And the other part, Chairperson, is the part that has been indicated by our members that the defense review, the sooner it is done, the better, because it will then begin to talk to the state. This thing that we go around the corner trying to justify is not helping us. The sooner the defense review is done and completed, the better it will begin to speak to the funding of the defense. The other part, Chairperson, that I think is the part that we are not addressing ourselves to, is the part where from time to time, the defense is addressing himself or herself to comply. That previously I recall that the quality of the defense is not the same with the quality of all other departments. And therefore, compliance sometimes will be difficult in the sense that in the defense you have property being moved from country to another country, from country to another country. And during the period of the audit, some material may have been appearing that the material is in Uganda. When the material has been moved already from Uganda to the DRC, I think it's going to apply again now with CAR, that immediately after our soldiers have been removed from CAR, where did the material go? Did it go, come back to South Africa? Did it go to another country? How is that going to be attended to? I think those are some of the things which we don't speak ourselves to when we look at how compliance is being attained. So, I think, Chairperson, immediately, the request from Honorable Manier of the 2-3 page, if it can come before the end of the week next week, I think it can also assist us
to get the whole of the DA in the budget debate.
We'll go somewhere. We get that.
Thank you.
that cannot actually be funded. I'm speaking from the position where the Department of Foreign Affairs or International Relations, sign the MOU that will ultimately affect, events. Probably without actually any prior interaction between the two, and then you find yourself having to send troops in the CAR, which actually entails some sort of cost, which has not budgeted. My question would be, or my concern would be, whether there is any
Thank you, Chair. Just one question and one suggestion and a follow-up. In respect of this memorandum, Secretary of Defense, I would appeal to you not to repeat the data in these presentations. It's frankly not persuasive. The kinds of data that we need in the memorandum on the effects of budget cuts is much more specific. For example, if 12 Gripens are in storage, we need to know that 12 Gripens are in storage. If the light utility hot helicopters are going to be put into storage as a result of budget cuts, we need to know that. The memorandum needs to be persuasive. The data that you have in these documents is not persuasive. That's the first point. The second point is, I asked you when you expect the defense review and the costed force design to be presented to Parliament. And I'm looking for a date or a broad time period when we can expect that. I would suggest if we do not receive it before mid-June, we're done. Then the opportunity is lost, and this thing will surface sometime in 2015.
I just want you to remind me, say the Minister of Defense are going to present it to
you.
Yes. It will still be in line with the budget.
Yes. The deadline for the submission of the information over the defense in your parliamentary programs is 14th of May. I'm not sure as to whether you're aware.
The force design.
No, the policy is the force design.
Okay.
The force design.
Yeah, no.
Force design.
Now, the defense group is not going to have a point to that, but in a discussion with the defense group, we said that they review at the strategic level and then wait for the strategic level. Then you come up with your the force structure will be ready end of June. So, defense review, end of May. Defense, force structure, force design, end of June. And the instance has been indicated that they are already working on it. And I don't think we might say the backup on you as a failure, actually, so I don't want to say that to say. But the clarification is that the data that are people have higher expectations, especially as a backup on me, the amount of interest generated in our team to join the defense force has been too high. I mean, the nation was so much motivated by the performance of our soldiers there that people out there want to be soldiers. After the fact of people say, I also want to be a soldier. Because they know, I mean, we lost 1814, but the rebel community, they lose. I mean, more than 600. And they saw the fighting force of our defense. So sometimes,
they're giving us a
force. I wanted to the issue of water safeguarding fans, I think it's been created for fans contractors, for example, right now we are engaged all other departments in the other defense, the water fence is not exclusive to the defense force. We have contracted the police and the part of our plan. And I think a water management agency, home affairs and public works are working around it. The civilian technology that we're talking about, I think highly appreciated, and it was one of my passions to set up a very strong defense research and development center. We are now putting up the part of our performance plan. We are already searching on the technologies for water surveillance and what coming out very interesting sometimes I was just going to present it because the research projects had an acquisition projects are more interesting. We are coming up with a technology of radar screen that will differentiate between animals and human beings. So now in the radar screen, the radars are out there now, they pick up movement and then can't tell whether it's an animal or it's a human being. The one that is now in our international community developing it and even classified information can determine differences that don't represent animals. The issue of health, one of Daniel's, you will take it to hear that on the landward defense force enhances, we are finally delivering. Who makes that? 1314.
Isn't this classified?
No. You will see in our report, we are now building combat vehicles for the army. This has been in development up now, but now we are building, of course, we will come up there. So we have to now build up. The general has to ramp up the capacity to manufacture these vehicles here in South Africa. So it's not the final thing we think about. But it's not the process to all around because we were wondering how we're going to build it, but now decided. And I think at the end of the budget is going to come there. The reason we didn't put it here, we was good at it because they're going to present on the GMB. Yes, we do have coordination structures with JECO in terms of our policies. You know that when we, for instance, think about it, it starts right there. When we deploy our attaché, the overseas, they report to the High Commission, the ambassador. So we started at level with our foreign mission, and then that policy finally leads into interaction with our level.
25, you know, 50, 25, most of the area structure that we have. You want to be aesthetic, you are running 20, 25. But when you when comes about the percentage of the GDP, what was the percentage of the GDP allocated to the defense? I think it's very interesting when you view the literature, most of the military science and literature are talking about the country of our size and level should be budgeting for 3% of our GDP for allocation to the defense budget. But on my part, I always say, let's put down the requirement. What is the requirement? And then once you have the requirement, then you allocate, I ask the list, but I think that's what they have to think of. 3% to 3%.
Should I mean more than 3%?
What is the requirement? Then once you know the requirement, then you allocate the budget according to the requirement. But right now, our budget, I think, is less than
1.2, 1.1 now.
1.1. It's 1.1 right now, and of the GDP. I think I've taken a note of the information that talks to the indicators that we read before, and all of the what was disclosed before, not disclosed now, and the issue of classification of information. We have the process, the procedures for classification of information. Finally, I'll have to sign off on the classification of the information, or unless I delegate certain levels, like maybe just confidential or to the process. But there is a process of classifying the information, and in the defense it works very well. That's why it works. That works. Then when to classify, when to declassify, and so forth. I think we'll talk about our homework. We'll be given homework number one, five-page report on background specific qualifications. Homework number two,
Chair, can I chair the Secretary of Defense mentioned Project Hoof Esther? The world didn't come to an end. I just